can become so familiar with some things that they lose their significance. Think about it. Take prayer, for example. I remember when I was a kid, I had a one-and-done prayer. Came in handy because I was always starving when we came to the meal. And when my mom or dad called on me to pray, I had that baby down pat. God bless this food and make our bodies strong and free, that we may use our health and strength in service, Lord, to thee. Amen. Pass the meatloaf. Not everybody does that. You've been in places where they pray from Alaska to Zurich. And there's a film that forms over the gravy as time passes. And you think, we are here to eat. We're not here for your prayer. Get it said. On the other hand, a pause is a wonderful thing. That's why there are selahs added to the Psalms. Had a prophet school who used to tell us all, when you get to a selah, just think, pause, and let that sink in. Pause. Take a breath. Think. You know, the Great Commission that we've talked about through the morning is so familiar. I can't speak for you, but I've heard it all my life. So often, it comes across as go into all the world to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I told you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's go to lunch. That's it, baby. You know that isn't the way Jesus said it. By the way, when you get to the very last of Matthew's 28 chapter book, this is the climax. This is the zenith. This is the final handoff of the baton and the relay. It's yours. He's looking into the faces of 11 men. I think perhaps their knees were knocking as they thought about what's ahead. He told them at the Last Supper that he was going to leave, and they fell into a slump. Immediately began to worry. What were they worried about? What are they going to do without him? I mean, he'd been there for every bit of their training program. He called them. Mark 3:14 says, he ordained 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. I love the order. I want you men to be with me. And so they were with him. Three and a half years. They ate alongside him. They heard him snore at night. They watched him under the moonlight as he couldn't sleep. They'd gone all the way to Gethsemane with him. Now he's leaving. It's worth a pause. Think about it. They are to carry on in his place. Not even Peter. Perhaps by now, especially Peter. Could imagine going on without him. Shortly after these words are spoken, he's gone like a flash. They won't see him again in their lifetime. So men, Moses left 10 commandments. I'm going to give you one. One. It's never called a Great Commission in the Bible. We've given it that name. This represents Jesus, among Jesus' final words to those men. They hung on them when he was gone. They remembered them when they were persecuted. Don't hurry through words like this. I've decided rather than just try to analyze terms and work through syntactical comments from the text, that I would just point out four, hopefully, meaningful comments about the commission. First, it was given to ordinary people. There was not one impressive man in the group. Oh, we've made them into a saint this or saint that. We've put halos on them and built them out of stone and shaped them and put them in the great cathedrals and made them more than life-size. They were not more than life-size. They were ordinary men. You wonder what that looked like? Look around. Go ahead. Look like those people sitting on your left and right? Had we been in that setting, that people like us? What's interesting is there's not one earned academic degree among them. There is not one impressive title among them. They were unknown in the world, certainly at that time. Oh, a handful of people knew them in the land of Israel, but they weren't known. They were Galileans, for goodness sake. And they are going to take the message and carry. Yes, they are. I want that to impact you. Because I want you to stop thinking, because I've not been to seminary, I can't really stop. You have breath in your lungs, you have vocal cords, thankfully. You have a brain, you have a mouth, you have a life to live. You have people whose lives you touch that I will never meet. Others will never meet. We all have our spheres of influence. And because that's true, understand this commission is for us to claim. See, Jesus did not open a seminary, did not have a Bible school, did not have a membership class, did not have a curriculum in writing. Think about it. He had himself He was, as Robert Coleman puts it, he was the curriculum. He was the school. Be with me. Paul got it when he wrote the Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. The Amplified Bible is beautiful here. That I may know him. That is, that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with him. That is such fabulous rendering. That I may become intimately acquainted with him. It's the only credentials they had. Remember when they were arrested? And their accusers took knowledge of them that they were ignorant and unlearned men, quote unquote, but that they had been with Jesus. I wonder how they knew that. Probably they saw the likeness of similar things in these men named Peter and John. They answered like Jesus would have answered. They responded to mistreatment like Jesus had responded. They were intimately acquainted with all his ways. Are you? Am I? When I read my Bible, I sometimes have a simple little prayer on my heart. Just help me to take this seriously. Deliver me from the great temptation of this same song, third verse, fourth verse, fifth verse, sixth verse. May I read this as if for the first time. May I hear it as if he were sitting right here in my study. Saying it to me. Because when he left, all they had was the memory. They had no book. No policy book. Handbook. Oh, they had the scrolls of scripture, of course. But I mean the daily stuff that would enable them to speak forthrightly and courageously and without hesitation. So he spoke to ordinary people. Now, secondly, he presented a plan that was brief, simple, and clear. Brief, simple, clear. That pretty well covers the basis of a good talk. It's short. It's simple. The main term in it is make disciples. Don't just win converts. Make disciples. That's why we believe in Vision 195. We believe that our pastoral representatives need to build into the lives of the people they're with. Don't just hand out tracts. Don't just speak quickly about the gospel and then walk away. You may be watching a birth. And like all newborns, they need time and attention, care, nurturing, love, understanding. So it's plain, and it's simple, and it's clear. Jesus is a master of that. And he wasn't, he didn't quibble about the destination. All nations, all of them. How many men? 11. Far more nations than people, okay? They got to multiply. He reaches her and she reaches him and her, and the two of them reach four or five more, and before you know it, this multiplication begins to turn the world upside down. Plain, clear, simple message. And by the way, I am with you all the way. Oh, I said he was going to leave, so he did, but he left his spirit. He sent his spirit shortly after he left. And his spirit energized them, encouraged them, and instructed them, led them. Oh, he's still doing that. Still doing that. If you are understanding anything I'm saying regarding spiritual truth, the Spirit of God is at work. It's not my skill. I'm not that skilled. But he's at work, and he's opening your eyes, the eyes of your heart, and you're going, oh, that makes sense. That's for me. I get it. Isn't it great to hear of people that can do that? I'm always pleased to be around people who can take truth and break it down in a way that anybody can get it. Sometime I have a teenager come by and wait in line to meet me or meet my wife, and a favorite question I'll ask teenagers: Did you get it? Did you understand what I said? I think, say yes. I don't say that, but I think that. And it's so great when they go, oh yeah, oh man, I got that. Fabulous. If I can connect with a teenager so that he or she can get it, I connect it. Jesus' words can be understood by anybody. Think about it. You don't have to have any Bible school training to understand it. It involves going, making disciples. Once they have come into the family, baptizing them, and then teaching them, teaching, teaching them, teaching them. And they'll grow. They'll grow. It's great. It works. Of course it does. Third, Jesus was forthright about the message, but flexible with the methods. Here's what I mean. Don't fuss around with the message. Keep it clear. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, proving his death. And he was bodily and miraculously raised from the dead, and he was seen, proving that he's alive. He died, he arose. His message is available to you if you will only believe it. Take it. It's clear. Yes, one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't miss the way, the truth, the life, not a way, one of the truths, a part of the life. So keep the message direct, clear, pointed. But when it comes to methods, oh my goodness, you've got to flex. You won't connect with one group just like you'll connect with another. So you have to adapt it. One of our pastoral representatives I mentioned earlier ministers at the Amazon, and he's all smiles when he talks about it, and he says, oh, what a great opportunity. But you don't reach Amazon people like you do businessmen in Sao Paulo. You've got to adapt it to Amazon people. Sometimes tribes. And I thought about others. There are students. There are physicians. There are laborers. There are athletes. There are artists. There are islanders. There are sophisticated individuals. They're the rich and famous. They're the people of the slums. You hear Tom? There are people who've never heard the name Jesus. I said to Alan sitting by me over here, they've never heard the name. I remember I was on one of our tours, and we were in Turkey. We had gone to one of the rug factories to see how they make their rugs. And I'm out on the porch. And the owner of the rug factory walks up, sits down by me, and you speak pretty good English, thank goodness, because my Turkish is pathetic. So he says, you're with this group? I go, yes, I am. I said, are you a part of this group? He says, I own this place. I go, oh, it's great, man. He said, you travel with important people? I go, only one. He goes, oh, who's he? I go, Jesus. He says, who? He's never heard the name. Had never heard the name. He said, Jesus. He said, can I meet him? I said, I hope so. And then we had a little talk. Here is a grown man who built a business, a very successful business, has never, ever heard the name. Some sit by you on planes. Some of them live three doors down. Some have gotten their citizenship and they've joined our country, and here we are. They have no idea what goes on in this room or this building from one Sunday to the next. It takes a method to reach someone who's never heard the name, of course. So when you take the Great Commission and you deliver it to others, keep that in mind. Don't dump the whole truck. And say it in such a way that it's interesting and intriguing. It's hard for a preacher because we do it all the time, and we tend to have a sing-song kind of style. I don't like sing-song stuff. So I work at not going that route. There's a fellow that sacks groceries over here at the local market. And I always like to get in that line because I like to talk to him. And he's a special needs guy. And I always thank him. And he shoves the bag over to me for me to take it. And I say, thank you. And he says, mm. And I said to him one day, you know, you do this very well. He goes, what? I guess no one has ever said that to him. I said, you really do this really well. Thank you for taking such care in how you put that in there. And he goes, like, he's saying that to me. You realize how many people everybody else looks away from, looks around and misses? Jay Kessler, my friend, for a number of years with Youth for Christ, and then later became president of Taylor University, and such a great guy. Terrific sense of humor. He said to me one time, Chuck, I was sitting in my study one day and I was looking around at all the pictures on the wall, me with important people, shaking hands. They were all looking at someone else. Isn't that great? How you doing, Jay? How you doing? So when you speak to someone, look them in the eye. Care. Answer their question. Don't argue. It's about Jesus, not about you winning an argument. You're commissioned to take this wonderful good news and make it fit. Make them want more. I have a feeling one of these days I'll have a moment, and I just long for it when I'm able to say, I got a friend I'd love you to meet. You talking to me? Yeah. Pick out individuals in your walk of life that you come across, and every once in a while, just pause and talk to them. Adapt your method so that it fits them. Okay, you with me so far? I'm almost through. Jesus spoke to ordinary people. He offered a brief, simple, and clear message. The message itself is unchanging, but the method flexes. So you can do this. You can take this commission with you. I think when the disciples realized it, they were on their way. Before long, literally, they reached their world. I want to drive home this last, the fourth point I want to make, and that is, he gave the commission to be obeyed. Not just to be admired and analyzed. There's an advertisement that's on the radio sometime. It says, got it? Get it? Good. Jesus would say that if we got the commission like that. You got it? Get it? Good. And I think he would add, get at it. He may not say it like that, but if he were from Texas, he would. Get at it. Get her done. Obey it. Our goal is to reach those who've not heard. One of my best friends years ago used to have the simple prayer, Lord, help me never to forget what it was like outside of Christ. I love that. I don't want you to ever forget what darkness there was, how tough it was to battle the addictions, how vicious the pornography habit was, how lonely you felt and how much you blew it, and maybe even the marriages you went through, and all that stuff. And then Christ came. He changed it all because somebody was willing to obey the commission. Just a little quick quiz here. Remember the person who first told you about Jesus? Let's think. Can you remember? Maybe your mom or dad? Maybe a Sunday school teacher? Maybe a friend at work? Maybe a fellow soldier in the military? Maybe a guy on the team that you played on? A fellow artist in the class, a teacher, somebody said to you, I got great news. It'll change your life. Aren't we grateful they did it? I want to close with a little story I thought up when I was putting all this together. Let's say you want to begin a business. You have a vision for it. And the more you think about it, the more passionate you feel. So you need a small team of men and women to help you get it going. So you pick them very carefully. You recruit. You begin the training process. You spell it out. And they get excited with you. And you begin to put it into action. Okay? So you and your team kick it off. For long, it begins to be successful, and you are able to buy property and build a building. So it's your first place that you can put a sign on that has the name of the company on it. And by now, it's really going. I mean, you're making headway, and you need more land. You need another building. It may come to the place where you need to branch out and go to another state and do the same thing there. Kind of like In-N-Out Burger. You know, when it started California, real little deal, then it went to another part of California. I remember when we came to Texas, I remember thinking, why in the world don't we have In-N-Out Burger? Somebody said, we do. And I go, we do? Great. That's wonderful. And that little tiny outfit, we knew the owner, and his idea grew and grew and grew. Anyway, whatever may be the business, it grows. It grows, it grows, and before long, you're thinking, you know, we're going to take this thing overseas. But you're tired. You need to take a break. So you plan a few months to be away. So you say to your team, hey, listen, I'm going to be away for a while, and so I don't want things to slow down or come anywhere near stopping. I want you to stay at it. So I'm going to be sending you email and texts. And I'll write you so that you'll have some direction. I'll be praying for you. I'll be remembering you. Want you to know, I may not be there, but I got you on my heart. So you scoot. You're gone. Time passes and you return. You drive into the parking lot. You've been away for a couple of months. And you notice something different. There's weeds growing up in the cracks of the parking lot. And some of the lights are burnt out that evening. And a sign that you had carefully placed is broken and leaning. Front door is smudged. In fact, the glass on the door is cracked. And you walk in, and the receptionist right there at the front door is doing her nails, watching the TV program. Doesn't even recognize that you came in. And you hear laughter down the hallway, and you walk down to different rooms, different stuff's going on. One of them has a puzzle they're working on, another playing chess. Some of the guys are sitting in the room drinking Cokes and telling jokes and hanging out. And you say, everybody, let's get together. And you get them together, and you say, what's going on? Didn't you get my messages? And one of them says, a little embarrassed, well, yeah, we got everything. In fact, you know what? We realize you're a great writer. You have terrific penmanship. I mean, your ideas are terrific. We appreciate it. And as a matter of fact, we have advanced email study once a week, and groups get together. Some are involved in tech. Some have even memorized some of your lines. They're so good. But what did you do about it? Do? We didn't do anything. Tough question. Only you can answer. When was the last time you spoke to another individual about Jesus? You. You spoke to another person. No raised hands. That just brings more guilt, other people to gossip about you because they don't have the guts to raise their hand. You got to answer that. Because otherwise, the commission stays as nothing but print on the page from Matthew, who really writes good stuff. And Jesus, who speaks the best, unless we don't do something about it. These friends of ours who are our guests today, 11 of them, if I count correctly, are engaged in doing it. That's why our applause was so loud and affirming. We believe they're engaged in that work. How about us? Please don't leave it all to the staff of a church or to the teacher of a class or to somebody that you respect as a Christian that you know is a faithful messenger. You do it. You do it. I challenge you this week, begin with prayer. Lord, make me sensitive to open doors that I might build a kind of friendship that would win the trust of sharing something very personal with another. If you know them well, you've already built that relationship. Chances are good you've talked about everything but Jesus. My message today says, talk about him. Bring him into the conversation. Bow with me, will you? If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, you're surrounded by people who have. Any one of us would love to tell you how simple the process is and how life-changing. If you need help, contact us at Insight for Living or Stonebriar Church. That's why we're here. We exist for you. Best of all, right now you can trust in Jesus. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Give him your whole future. Thank you for the momentous time we've had together, magnificent music, great moments just to reflect, time to meet friends we've never known before, a chance to look into the faces of 11 couples who've taken you seriously and modeled the Great Commission. May it move into our lives in such a way that it becomes a natural thing for us, so that we become, for some people, a voice of hope, a person who cares. If you will do that, Lord, our time will have been well spent. Finally, I pray that you will use this week in a great way to encourage, strengthen, deepen the lives of those who represent you around the world. As they travel up to the conference center, give them a grand time together. May some of it be just sheer fun, relaxation, refreshment, enjoyment. May some of it be soul-searching, reflective, as they take a deep look at their short lives. May they leave better people than when they came. Give them protection in the drive there and back. And ultimately, use them mightily in their country for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, get at it.